morning, everybody. It's Thursday, 16th of September, and the Dow reversed its 200 plus point fall yesterday and was up 237 overnight. Our SPY futures, after a 20-point fall yesterday, they were up 32 this morning, but we've been up 71 at best and up 59 as I speak. And astonishingly, despite a 5.7% fall in the iron ore price, BHP is up 1.8%, Rio's up 0.1%. And this morning, Citibank has a buy recommendation on Rio with a target price 17% above the current share price. That's a target price of $125, with the share price currently at $104. And you might remember earlier this week, Macquarie had a buy recommendation on BHP with a target price 30% above the current share price. Since the end of July, BHP is now down 26%, hit its lowest price since the top yesterday. Rio is down 23% and is oversold, bumping along the bottom. In fact, it's had a couple of buy signals as it bangs around that 30 level on the RSI. Fortescue Metals is down 33% and hit its lowest price since the top in July today. And the stock, I think, if you wanted to buy for the bottom, the stock, or buy for a trade if iron ore bottoms, if it does, then the stock I think would be worth traders trading is Mount Gibson, which is down 54.7% and has got an RSI of 15, and it's had its first positive day today, probably since the top. So the debate is on resources. At what point is it bottom? With the iron ore price down 5% overnight, the iron ore price is still in free fall. There's no reason to buy, technical reason to buy any of the stocks yet. There are no really convincing buy signals. But if the sector can hold up as it is today against a 5% fall in the iron ore price, you start to begin to wonder whether this isn't a dead horse that has been flogged enough. Anyway, I will be looking to have a trade in Mount Gibson, I think, for a bit of a laugh when the bottom arrives, but it clearly isn't here yet. The other theme that's running at the moment in the market is this oil sector bounce. I'm not sure I can get involved in it. They don't excite me. They are clearly, the energy sector is clearly a recovery sector, and it's had a 7% bounce in 3 days. And as of now, it's still down 34% from the top pre-pandemic. It's RSI, relative strength index, is, can you believe it, at 14, which is as oversold as it's been in years and years. Even on the weekly chart, it's oversold with an RSI of 20. And what brokers seem to be picking up on is this big gap, and I've got a chart in the strategy piece, this big gap that's opened up between what is usually a very tight correlation between the sector and the oil price. And the oil price has shot up this year and the sector has been left behind. So some brokers now suggesting they are undervalued. Certainly, it seems to be driven from the US rather than necessarily from Australian analysts. UBS had a bit of research out earlier this week, which had a buy on almost everything. The oil price last night was up 3.1%. That was on the back of some inventory numbers, which are probably affected by Hurricane Ida. So it's a bit ignorable short-term stuff, I would guess. But the US energy sector has had 2 days this week where it's gone up over 3%. So there seems to be some sort of bottoming. But Credit Suisse has a bit of research out today looking at the whole sector. They are far more muted. They have neutral recommendations on Oil Search and Santos, or is it Origin and Santos, and a buy recommendation on Woodside. And I've written about this in the strategy piece today in a section called The New Pecking Order. And this is about the rotation that's going on, and it's driven by a couple of strategist pieces I've written. All the strategists at the moment are writing about a new super cycle in resources and a rotation in the commodity sector away from old commodities to new commodities. New commodities are largely driven by the clean energy push, although I'm not sure electric vehicles were entirely driven by the moral standpoint of clean energy, but they are clearly on the way, and the electrification of everything is a very strong theme, and this is going to drive a change in the pecking order of commodities, and particularly with ESG in mind. Nobody wants to be investing in ESG unfriendly businesses and commodities. No one will want to work for them, which is why companies like BHP are not even quietly, I was going to say quietly changing their focus, very noisily changing their focus to become a leader of ESG values in Australia and probably the world. You've probably seen some of the adverts on TV emphasizing that fact. You've seen them sell out of their oil and gas assets, merge them with Woodside. And that's where change comes from. It doesn't come from legislation, doesn't come from tree huggers. It comes from the dollar. It comes from companies realizing it's in their commercial interest to make cultural changes. And that's what BHP is telling you. And they are just a small part of the revolution, which is global. And it's going to move the emphasis away, obviously, from fossil fuels. And I'm afraid the energy sector, for all the undervaluation you like to emphasize or highlight, it is still an old commodity now. It is so 1980s. And the oil price might be going up, but the investment interest is elsewhere. And this is what I've written in the new pecking order section in the strategy piece today. You need to be playing in the playground, not the graveyards. So you might remember what all you need to make money in the stock market. If you're active, right? Long-term investors, you do your thing. Take your long-term views. But if you're an active investor, which arguably most members are, you're there to exploit every opportunity. And one of the tried and tested methods of making money, which I use very successfully, and I've written about it a few times, I used on Webjet. I used to pick up on stocks that started advertising on TV just whilst I was a broker trying to come up with ideas. And Webjet suddenly started advertising on TV. Up till then, it'd all been the Qantas Choir, and Webjet popped up with that mouse with eyes on it. And I thought they must be doing well. And I knew that because Marcus today is a business that whilst we're profitable, we would love to be so profitable that we had enough money to spend millions at media outlets to raise our profile. It's a bit chicken and egg in a business. You don't quite know whether it'll pay off. And when it's a private company as well, I could be driving the latest motorbike or I could be spending money on advertising. Well, motorbikes maybe take preference. So when a company comes like Webjet, another one was Hello World, started advertising a couple of years ago or so, and that took off. But when a company starts advertising, it's like inside information, which, as I say, you need to use inside information, which is not inside information, illegal information. It's information that you pick up from your own industry, from the streets, from reading a lot. You realize, oh, there is a movement there. So advertising on TV is one of 1,000 indicators that a business is doing well. Obviously, sometimes companies list, raise a load of money, blow it all on advertising, never earn a dollar. But Webjet was the other end. It was a business that had been around for decades and was getting to a point of profitability where national advertising was the go. So I picked up on Webjet. Oh, that was a long way round to tell you why I picked up on Webjet. But anyway, Webjet was the stock I picked, and I traded it successfully. I would get in and get out and get in and get out, and I'd get my clients in and out. And we traded it, and everybody made money because I had found a stock that on the chart was bottom left to top right. It is so much easier if you're an active investor, so you're a trader. I wish there wasn't this divide between investor and trader. We should have a scale, 0 to 10, but whatever. If you were a trader, you could trade the tops and bottom. You got used to the trading range of stocks. You saw the turning points much more clearly than anyone else scanning the whole market looking for a stock. If you focused on one stock that was going bottom left to top right and traded the range, it became a heck of a lot easier and a heck of a lot less risk because you got to understand the stock. You knew when the announcements were coming out. You knew what the next announcement was likely to be. You could trade around it. For instance, on resources stocks, one of the classic trading techniques was to buy a stock coming up to drilling results but flog it before the drilling results come out, because there is always anticipation and it was always much better than realization. Even when drilling results are good with resources stocks, everybody's pumped it into the result, and even if they're good, the share price tends to fall over. So you buy into announcements dates, and resources companies are very good at telling you that they are going to make a decision next month, so what date, and you know the results coming up, or they've got a presentation, so they always run into these things. So you get used to trading a stock at the tops and bottoms, and Webjet was one. Coming all the way around, the relevance of this is that you want to be playing in the sectors that are moving bottom left to top right. You need to be in the playground where the growth is. You need to be trading around in growth stocks, not in the graveyard stocks. So this is the point that, yes, lithium and nickel, even uranium in the last month. The uranium price, by the way, is up 44% in a couple of months. Anyway, hot sectors. Yes, they're going to get overbought. Yeah, should you buy Liontown Resources, which has doubled in the last 6 months on the lithium theme? And is that too scary? And have you missed it? Nobody can answer that question. But this is where you should be playing, trying to catch the top for traders, trying to catch the tops and bottoms on stocks that are moving long term, bottom left to top right. So this is the playground now. It's not in oil stocks, in which case all this research on oil stocks is all very good, but it is not where people who are trying to make money should be bothering to play at the moment. Right, also in the strategy piece today, I have a quick write-up of Shane Oliver's latest weekly email. He, of course, works for the AMP, but he is a very sensible economist. He does a lot of legwork that I don't have the time or skills or training to do, so I'm happy to pick on him, despite the fact he is pushing AMP and tends to be quite optimistic. He's got great weekly emails. I suggest you subscribe to them. Doesn't cost you anything. Anyway, he's written about the Aussie dollar today. 5 reasons why the Aussie dollar is likely to resume its upswing over the next 12 months. This, of course, is of tremendous interest to people who hold a lot of the big stocks in Australia that have overseas businesses like CSL and Cochlear and Brambles, Ansell. A lower Aussie dollar is good news for those companies, because in Aussie dollar terms, their US dollars are worth a lot more. So a fall in the Aussie dollar is as good as a profit upgrade. So here we have Shane suggesting the opposite of what we probably want to hear, which is that the Aussie dollar is likely to go higher. The RBA don't want to hear that either, because it makes everything Australian less competitive. But it does make imports cheaper, which is good for things like retailers and Temple & Webster buying Chinese furniture and selling it over here. So he's suggesting the Aussie dollar is going to go up. You've probably seen it's come off from 80 cents to 73 cents, and he thinks it's going to go higher. You can read the reasons why in the strategy piece today, or indeed in Shane's email. Right, I hope you're enjoying the new Marcus Today section. As I said yesterday, I don't know why we didn't do this earlier. It is now a section where we put in everything we put in at the top. So we used to have this issue with members worrying about having to reread articles because new stuff was put in, they didn't know where it went. It all goes into the top, so you can almost, someone's asked us to timestamp everything we write in the new section. I'm not going to do that. All it will do is create email action asking us why we only spotted at 12:45 an announcement that came out at 10 o'clock. I'm not going to explain myself. Email is a massive killer for us. Don't want to provoke it by getting small details wrong that people love to pick you up on. So not going to timestamp it, I'm afraid, but just understand what's at the top is the most recent thing we've added. So at the top at the moment is the unemployment numbers, which dropped to 4.5%, beating estimates of a rise to around 5%. And on the back of that, the Aussie dollar 10-year bond yield fell slightly. There are other things in there you'll find of interest. I've got a view on IAG. We've highlighted an AFR article, which is talking about the politics behind a UBS sell recommendation on Magellan Financial Group. Its SPY options expiry quadruple witching today. Loads of research out on Brambles. Most brokers seem to think it's fallen far enough. Interesting underperform recommendation from Macquarie on Xero. Although looking at that chart, if I held Xero, I'd still hold it. There's no technical reason to sell it yet. Macquarie's got a piece of research out on Pilbara Minerals. Lithium stock, obviously, PLS. They've got a target price 19% above the current share price. Credit Suisse got an outperform on CRN coal stock, Coronado Global Resources. I think I mentioned it yesterday. Target price 30% above the current share price. And Ords have got a buy recommendation on BlueScope Steel, who've got an investor day next week. They've got a target price 45% above the current share price. We've got US retail sales tonight. Telstra's got an investor day today. Let's just see how the share price is going. Very good trend on the Telstra share price at the moment. And they are up 1.4% today. Must be going okay. Haven't seen the details yet. There'll be some research around tomorrow, no doubt. And for those of you enjoying your coffee, you might know that there was a coffee company, Dutch Brothers Coffee, IPO'd on the New York Stock Exchange last night. 60.5% gain on day one. And the coffee price was up 5.6% last night, is up 135% this year. No wonder there are coffee companies listing. If you are a bean roaster, Brewster, you'd better ring a broker, get yourself listed. By the way, there's also a 4.5-year high on sugar. Sugar high. Right, lastly, on this day, all sorts of things happened on this day, but nothing more significant than the Nuremberg legislation, which was passed by the Nazi Party, designed by Adolf Hitler. This legislation in 1935, on this day, deprived Jews of German citizenship and forbade marriage or sexual relationships between Jews and Germans, or anyone of kindred blood to the Germans. Can you believe that? Unbelievable. It's also Prince Harry's birthday, not to trivialize the Jewish stuff, and it's the 200th anniversary of the independence of Mexico, Costa Rica, El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras, and Nicaragua from Spain. Talk about the British Empire, we should talk about the Spanish Empire. Anyway, as I leave you, Dow futures doing nothing, they are up 4, our market up 61, all the banks are up, most of the resources are up, energy's up, coal's up, tech stock's a bit feeble. That's about that. You have a fabulous day, and I will speak to you soon.